Welcome to Benefits Update. This is Natalie Choate. The topic today is inherited IRAs. We're looking at what happens when a non-spouse beneficiary inherits a traditional IRA. We'll save inherited Roth IRAs and other kinds of plans, and we'll save surviving spouses for another time. So Mary Doe has died, and she left her traditional IRA to her son Junior Doe as named beneficiary. In the IRS's lingo, Junior is the designated beneficiary of his mother's IRA. Junior comes to you as his advisor and asks you, "What should I do?" Here's a checklist of things that Junior needs to think about regarding the inherited IRA. First, clear away the preliminaries. Is there any reason Junior might want to disclaim this account? A disclaimer is the refusal to accept an inheritance. If Junior disclaims the inherited IRA, the asset will pass instead to the contingent beneficiary named on mother's beneficiary designation form, or to the default beneficiary under the IRA documents if there is no contingent beneficiary. Sometimes people disclaim because they don't want or need the asset, and sometimes they disclaim for tax reasons. For example, a parent might disclaim an inherited IRA to allow it to pass to his children instead for income or estate tax reasons. Assuming Junior wants to keep the inherited IRA, which is usually the case, the next step is getting the account correctly titled. This is an extremely important step. It is extremely important that the titling on this account must reflect that it is an inherited IRA. Because even though this account is an IRA, and even though Junior owns it and Junior's Social Security number's on it, it's not Junior's IRA, it's his mother's IRA, and it always will be. Junior has his own IRA too, but this account is different. For example, with the inherited IRA, he can't make new contributions to it from his compensation, as he can with his own IRA. So how should the account be titled exactly? Well, even though it's extremely important that the account must reflect that it's Mary Doe's IRA in some fashion, the exact wording is not extremely important. Different IRA providers use different formats, and they're all acceptable to the IRS, such as some IRA providers will title the account as Mary Doe, FBO Junior Doe. FBO stands for the benefit of. Other IRA providers use the format Junior Doe as beneficiary of Mary Doe. Both are perfectly fine. Some IRA providers call these accounts inherited IRAs. Some companies use the term beneficiary IRA or decedent IRA. It doesn't matter what nickname the IRA provider likes to use or exactly how they title it, as long as it's clear that the IRA is an inherited IRA that Junior Doe holds as beneficiary of Mary Doe and that he's not holding it as the participant or original IRA owner. Next, Junior might want to have that account transferred to the financial institution where he usually does business, rather than leaving the account with his mother's financial institution. IRA to IRA transfers are perfectly legal, even when initiated by a beneficiary. The money must be transferred via direct trustee to trustee transfer, or IRA to IRA transfer, as I prefer to call it, directly from the existing inherited IRA into another so-called inherited IRA in the name of the same decedent and the same beneficiary. So Junior first opens up a new, empty, so-called inherited IRA at his preferred financial institution in the name of Junior as beneficiary of mother or mother FBO Junior, and arranges to have the assets transferred directly into this new inherited IRA. Your primary responsibility in all this is to avoid the disasters that can occur in the process of getting the account registered as an inherited IRA or transferring it to a different financial institution. If the money from mother's IRA somehow gets transferred into Junior's taxable account, he is stuck with a taxable distribution, and that's the end of the story. If the money falls out of mother's IRA, Junior cannot roll it back into any IRA, not even into the same IRA, not within 60 days, not within 60 minutes. Because when a distribution occurs after the IRA owner's death, It just cannot be rolled back into any type of plan by a non-spouse beneficiary, even if the distribution occurred by mistake. The other disaster that's even worse that can occur with an inherited IRA is to have the inherited IRA transferred into the beneficiary's own IRA by mistake. And that's another mistake you cannot fix. It's considered a taxable distribution from the mother's IRA and an illegal rollover into Junior's IRA. And then he has to take it out of his own IRA to avoid an excess contributions penalty. Well, as you can see, I hope, you should not leave IRA titling and transfers to your summer intern to handle while you go on vacation. Stick around and watch that process like a hawk. You can take a vacation after the money has safely landed where it's supposed to land. Once Junior's happily settled in with his inherited IRA, your next job is to make sure he's going to take his annual minimum required distribution from the inherited account. Explain the benefits of the life expectancy payout system and how it's to his advantage to leave the money in the IRA as long as possible. Remind him of the penalty for missing a minimum required distribution. Make it easy for him to comply with the MRD rules by providing written instructions, plus an offer to compute the distribution for him each year, and then send him annual reminders too. Next, don't forget to look for gold in the inherited IRA. Get a copy of the decedent's, i.e. Junior's mother's, Form 8606. Form 8606 is the form that you're supposed to file with the income tax return, which is Form 1040, in most years, and that's the form that tells you how much after-tax money Mother Mary Doe had in her IRA. Since Mary Doe's after-tax money is going to be tax-free when it's distributed to your client Junior, you need to be sure he knows about this. We all want to pay our fair share of taxes, I hope, but it's a crying shame to pay more than your fair share. And that's what happens when beneficiaries forget about after-tax money that's inside the IRA they inherited. And here's one more overlooked tax deduction while we're visiting that subject. If Mary Doe's estate was large enough to be subject to federal estate taxes, and she didn't die in 2010 when there is no federal estate tax, then Junior is going to be entitled to an income tax deduction for the estate taxes that were paid on his share of Mary's retirement benefits. Now, this is the most overlooked tax deduction in America because Junior is entitled to this tax deduction even if he's not the one who paid the estate taxes, so he may very well not be aware of it. But it's a very valuable deduction. It's called the IRD deduction. IRD deduction stands for income in respect of a decedent. And if you have a decedent whose estate was subject to estate taxes, federal estate taxes that is, all the IRA beneficiaries are going to be able to get some kind of an income tax deduction when they take distributions out of that IRA. Before Junior leaves your office, you're going to remind him that he cannot make annual contributions to his inherited IRA, he cannot convert it to a Roth, and he cannot engage in any kind of prohibited transactions, such as borrowing money against the account or selling property to the account. But he can take distributions from the inherited IRA whenever he wants to, and those distributions are not going to be subject to the 10% early distribution penalty, even if Junior's under age 59 and a half. Because that penalty just does not apply to death benefits. Just about the only thing we don't know here is whether Junior can merge this inherited IRA with any other IRAs he may have inherited from Mary. It seems like he should be able to, but we just don't have any clear pronouncements from the IRS. Well, once you've discussed disclaimers, titling, transfer, minimum distributions, the IRD deduction, and after-tax money with your client, Junior is well on his way to a happy inherited IRA experience. For Morningstar Advisor, this is Natalie Choate.